Good afternoon, 4:30 and 80 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
This is a big step. It confirms that Kentucky will sue where the evidence supports it.
Attorney General Andy Beshear says he's planning multiple lawsuits against companies that have sold opioids illegally in Kentucky. Rowan County could be wired for broadband internet service at this time next year, and some $11,000 in federal funds are coming to Rowan County for emergency food and shelter assistance. In sports, the Reds try to make it two straight over division-leading Milwaukee tonight. Bud Luke has the Stocks. Mostly clear this evening, low of 61. A complete check of the forecast after this news. Attorney General Andy Beshear says he plans to file multiple lawsuits against companies who've unlawfully marketed and sold opioids to Kentuckians. The Democrat announced the move at a press conference this afternoon.
To support this effort, my office will be issuing a request for proposal, or RFP, to seek support for litigations against drug manufacturers and distributors who contributed to the opioid epidemic by illegally marketing and selling opioids in Kentucky.
Beshear says Kentucky is one of several states participating in a bipartisan coalition among AGs using their investigative tools, including subpoenas for documents and testimony to address the opioid crisis. Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell says failure to fix the nation's health care system is not an option for Congress. The Republican and Senate Majority Leader spoke Tuesday following a meeting at the White House with President Trump and other GOP senators. McConnell says Republicans must resolve their differences and take action.
My suspicion is that any negotiation with the Democrats would include none of the reforms that we would like to make, both on the market side and the Medicaid side. So for all of those reasons, we need to come up with a solution. The American people elected us to do that, and we're working hard to get there.
McConnell concedes there are not enough Republican senators currently willing to vote for the GOP's plan to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. The Republican governor of Ohio says the GOP Senate's health care overhaul bill would deny services to millions of people who need them. John Kasich says that's why he can't support the measure.
I'm sure most of you are aware of the problems that are connected to drug abuse and how hard it is for somebody to get clean and to stay clean. But the same issue is there with the mentally ill who need constant treatment if they suffer from some of these very severe illnesses. And, of course, the chronically ill need to be covered as well. And if you don't have a system that does that, you have a problem.
Kasich appeared Tuesday before the National Press Club in Washington. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Federal Emergency Management Agency are giving Rowan County a grant of just over $11,000. A local board will hand out the money to qualifying agencies who will use it to provide emergency food and shelter. Among the board's members is the Gateway Homeless Coalition. The coalition's housing manager is Tina Smith. She says earning the grant was not a simple feat, and the cash is a real necessity when it comes to helping the needy in Rowan County.
Basically, the agencies have to really compete for the funding that we get. The needs of the community, it's very hard. I mean, it's very high on this. We really want to make sure that we assist individuals appropriately. So anything that we can get to help our families, we're definitely going to go for that.
Smith says Christian Social Services, the Doves Domestic Violence Shelter, and Gateway Homeless Coalition used a similar grant from Homeland Security and FEMA last year to provide 2,100 meals and over 400 nights of lodging. An Eastern Kentucky state representative believes Governor Matt Bevin will keep his promise when it comes to his efforts to help reform the state's tax system. Bevin will reportedly call for a special session of the legislature after mid-August to deal with that issue. And Grayson Republican Jill York expects the governor to make certain that any plan that's passed creates new revenue for the Commonwealth.
That is what the governor's office has indicated, as you recall back when he made his address to the Commonwealth, that his view was that we were not going to be talking about something that was revenue neutral, and that was groundbreaking. And of course, Kentucky has a great many needs.
Among them are helping the state's public pension systems eliminate their $40 billion debt, while also paying the growing bills for Medicaid, education, and corrections. York adds, with Kentucky's economy improving, this is the right time for lawmakers to work on tax reform. The president of the Kentucky League of Cities says the organization welcomes the state legislature's anticipated consideration of tax reform. Claude Christensen is the top elected official in the Scott County town of Sadieville.
That's good conversation. We applaud that. And the short answer from both KLC standpoint and as a small city, our answer to tax reform is yes, please. We would like to see some. And we want it to be deliberate and careful, obviously, because what you do here in Frankfort, as well-intentioned as it might be, and it usually is, has a direct impact on how we get by out there.
Christensen testified in Frankfort today before a panel of state lawmakers. If city and county governments have to provide services for tourists staying in their communities, they should get more of the revenue from local bed taxes. At least that's the opinion of Owensboro Mayor Tom Watson. Currently, he contends, there's something lopsided about the way funds raised by the 6% tax are being divided.
Obviously, the money that's generated for the Visitors Bureau Commission comes from the bed tax. And we get 1% of the 6% bed tax. And we feel that's a little bit unfair.
Watson says if the local community is responsible for public safety and the maintenance of infrastructure for its guests, it should be receiving more than 1/6 of the money. Rowan County could get improved high-speed internet access by next summer. So says Judge Executive Walter Blevins. According to Blevins, while the county is getting 288 so-called lines of black fiber cable from the SOAR Initiative's Kentucky Wired program, half of them are already slated to go to government and educational organizations. For that reason, Blevin says he's partnering with Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent and the Moorhead Utility Plant Board on a plan to spend over $200,000 to buy another 144 high-speed lines. Blevins notes that by purchasing the additional cable through the Kentucky Wired program, the county and city would save a lot of money. He says black fiber usually costs $10 to $12 a foot.
Actually running it and putting it up, where we can do this for about $3 to $4 per foot, it makes sense to go ahead and do it. At least all the people tell us that maybe we're overbuilding, but if you look what technology is, how fast it's growing and how many more people are getting online, we think that it would be a wise investment.
Both Blevins and Trent believe the money will pay off for Rowan County's economic development efforts. An effort to stabilize a section of Kentucky 773 near the Carter-Lawrence County line should be done in the next few days. Crews from the state transportation cabinet have been installing T-rail to hold the highway in place. Cabinet spokesman Alan Blair says they've made some progress over the last 3 days.
Really good. You know, this is the last section to put T-rail in, and once we get that complete, we have several roadside slits that will be repaired and hopefully stabilize those embankments for many years to come.
Because crews have had to employ large pieces of equipment to install the T-rail, the section of Kentucky 773 being worked on has been closed to traffic from 7:30 in the morning until 3 p.m. State Senator Chris McDaniel is not giving up. The Northern Kentucky Republican told a panel of state lawmakers in Frankfort this afternoon that he is again sponsoring an amendment to the state constitution to move the election of Kentucky's governor and its four other constitutional offices to even-numbered years. He says the switch would save $19 million.
About $3.5 million of that money is saved at the state level, but the vast majority of it is actually saved at the local level. We see some counties that have in excess of $700,000 in savings by not having to conduct these elections. It simply does not cost any more money.
McDaniel says it would also increase voter participation. If the General Assembly were to pass his bill, it would be placed on the statewide ballot for voters to decide. He says he's been pushing the change for 5 years. And finally, this afternoon, former Kentucky Governor Steve Beshear says more and more people are becoming frustrated with both political parties because they seem incapable of working together. That's a central theme of the Democrats' new book, People Over Politics. Beshear talked about it Tuesday with the senior editor of New Republic magazine.
This dysfunctional politics, particularly in Washington, this gridlock you see in Washington, has just turned everybody off. I mean, they're turned off by politics in general. There are probably fewer people in this country right now that identify as either Republicans or Democrats than there's been in a long time, because they're just so sick and tired of this gridlock and this dysfunction that they see.
Beshear says compromise is possible. He claims he proved it during his 8 years as Kentucky's governor, working with a Republican Senate and a House then controlled by Democrats. And here is the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, including the counties of Lewis, Fleming, and Mason. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 61. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 86. Thursday night, partly cloudy, low around 65. Friday, a slight chance of showers, then a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 11 a.m. It'll be partly sunny with a high near 84 degrees, and the chance of precipitation is 30%. Checking temperatures around the region, it is 80 degrees in Ashland and Flemingsburg, 81 in Winchester and Inez, 82 in Lexington, and on the campus of Morehead State University, it is 80 degrees. 4:42, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. It's great to have you with us on this Wednesday afternoon. On our feature segment, we have our regular neighbors feature, Adrian Swain's Conversations with our culturally diverse Appalachian community. This afternoon, Adrian talks with Gunilla Bowling, who was born in Sweden. Gunilla describes her childhood, her time in the horse business, and reflects upon some of the differences she encountered as a new arrival in the U.S.
I was born in 1959 in Malmö, Sweden, a big city right across from Copenhagen. I was the only child, my dad a postal worker, and my mom an at-home mom. I was a busy little girl, did the gymnastics and the horseback riding and all the activities that they could put me in. I never saw my parents argue, a very peaceful upbringing. So after I graduated from the public school, I went on to a girls' school to learn how to cook and clean and take care of a house. And I was on my own. And the following year, I went to a ag school to learn what it would be to be a farmer. And after the first year, I was fortunate enough to get employed by the Malmö General Hospital doing the dishes. I was sterilizing the dishes.
Not working in the kitchen, but
in the lab, and trained me as a phlebotomist. But I kept my interest for horses, and as a sidekick, I enjoyed working at the racetrack. In 1983, a friend of mine was working with horses in Florida, and I told him, I sure wish I could do that. And he said, well, you can. And a couple of months later, I was going to Florida to experience the trotting world with the horses. Of course, I fell in love with the palm trees and the Florida sun. And after the 90 days, I went back over to Sweden and I quit my job. And then I got a one-way ticket back to the United States. I was the groom, and I received a green card. Then I started to travel with the horses. There are many racetracks. And I ended up at the Red Mile in Lexington, and that was my final stop. I fell in love with the state, the horses, and the people of Kentucky, and I ended up staying. I worked at the farm, and I also worked at an equine hospital. They trained me there, and I became a vet tech. I worked from 4 in the afternoon to midnight. Right. I was there for about 8 years. I lived in Moorhead during that time, so I drove back and forth. And the reason was that I got married and had two beautiful little boys, and that was also the reason why I quit the job. The drive and the time took away too much from my sons when they started school. When I ended being around horses, I was okay. It seemed like I had had my share of horses. Now, I miss them a little bit. So maybe on the bucket list there is to get that backyard pony. So I stayed home for about a year or so. Got very involved in the public school system. I also started to work with Harold White Lumber Company, where I handled inventory and was the safety coordinator. So I was there for about 11 years. And in 2006, I started to work from home, and the company is called Back on Track USA, and we sell therapeutic products for horses, people, and dogs. I have become very Americanized. And when I do go home to visit my mother, who is 89, I don't always know how to behave just in general. I cannot see myself moving back to Sweden. The first years in the States, I was very baffled by the different churches that was available. And another thing was politics. I was not an American citizen until 2008. In the late 80s, I was invited with a friend to travel to Washington, D.C. to meet Senator Mitch McConnell. And I was told that Mitch McConnell was a Republican. And my reply was, oh, what kind of religion is that? And when Mitch McConnell heard the story, it was very embarrassing. But that pretty much sums up the confusion about the religion and about the politics during the first years here.
Gunilla, thank you very much for coming in and talking to us today. I really enjoyed it.
Well, thank you so much, Adrian. It was a pleasure.
That is Swedish-born Gunilla Bolling on our regular Wednesday series, Neighbors, Adrian Swain's Conversations with our culturally diverse Appalachian community. It is 4:48, and you are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR is coming up at 5 o'clock this afternoon, and Braxton has sports right after we take this time out.
Support for MSPR provided by Downtown Moorhead Incorporated, presenting Fazoli's Freedom Fest on Saturday, July 1st. Music on two stages by The Wooks, Jericho Woods, Bang Bang, and A Midlife Crisis. Gospel showcase featuring Calvary's Song, Focus, Grace Note, The Sun's Family, and The Well. Gravity Falls Motorsports Cruise In on Main Street, Kids Activities, and a Thunder Over Triplet Fireworks Show at 9:45 p.m. Activities begin at 4 o'clock p.m. Saturday, July 1st. More information on Facebook under Moorhead Freedom Fest.
Good afternoon with Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Cincinnati Reds will try to do something tonight that they haven't done since early June, and that's have a winning streak. They'll host Milwaukee again at 7:10 after beating the Brewers 8-6 last night. Billy Hamilton led off the bottom of the first for the Reds with a solo home run and later added a single. With 5 hits in the last 4 games, Hamilton believes he may finally be done with his recent slump.
I want it to be like that. Like I said, that's my job, and for me to just keep battling and keep wanting to be in the leadoff spot is my main thing. So I got to keep coming out every day, learning, and keep working. And like I said, if I get on, my team behind me going to bring me in.
Rookie Luis Castillo will make his second start for the Reds. The Brewers will counter with 6-2 Chase Anderson. Cincinnati, meanwhile, has put lefty Brandon Finnegan back on the disabled list with a strained shoulder muscle. He was injured Monday in his first start since first going on the DL back in mid-April. Playing in the nation's capital this week, manager Joe Maddon and the World Series champion Cubs will make an unofficial visit to the White House. Maddon says they're doing it out of respect for the Ricketts family, which own the team and who donated to President Trump's campaign. Indians manager Terry Francona missed last night's game in Texas after being hospitalized for a second time this month. Doctors don't believe anything major is going on, but plan to keep a close eye on the 58-year-old. And former pitcher Anthony Young has died at the age of 51 after a long illness. He is best known for setting a league record 27 straight losses. Moorhead State's Nico Hosizer is getting set to participate in this Saturday's College Baseball Home Run Derby. The sophomore outfielder, who finished second in the nation with 27 home runs this season, can't wait to get into the batter's box at TD Ameritrade Park in Omaha.
I think it's a great experience. I'm really excited that I got the opportunity to do this. I mean, I never pictured this happening. So I'm just going to go out there and give it my best and have fun for a couple days out in Omaha and get to experience it.
The College Home Run Derby will feature three rounds, with contestants trying to hit as many home runs as possible in 4 minutes. The event will air Saturday on ESPN2 at 9 p.m. Round County pitcher A.J. Hacker has committed to Moorhead State. The 6'3 right-hander helped lead Round County to the state tournament this past season as a sophomore. He says it's always been a dream of his to play for his hometown school.
My dad played here and coached here back in his day. You know, I always thought, try to up him up a little bit, you know what I mean? But, you know, it's just always been around, and it's always been kind of, you know, Sunny Island Field is kind of like a classic, you know, so I always wanted to play there.
Hacker is ranked by Prep Baseball Report as the fourth best pitcher in the state of Kentucky. Going into his first full year as the men's basketball coach at Moorhead State, Preston Spradlin looks forward to having a chance to do something he couldn't do after he took over the team last December. Spradlin says he'll finally be able to put together and install a full playbook for his team.
You know, the picking up in the middle of the season with what we had and the roster changes and those types of things kind of limited what we were able to do. But, we began as early as May trying to, experiment and talk about and learn and apply, you know, exactly how we want to play with this group.
The group Spradlin is referring to will have just 4 returnees from last season and 10 new players. The Ode Basketball Goes in Lexington's Rupp Arena are getting new life in a new place. MSPR's Chuck Mirage reports.
The Lexington Herald Leader reports two of the well-used goals that swished for hundreds of U.K. baskets from 2001 to 2016 have been sold to a buyer in the Philippines, while a third now sits in a warehouse in Troy, New York. Dan Shaw, the owner of Mountain State School Equipment in Utah, bought the old goals from the Lexington Center for just over $6,000, then resold them. Shaw says the Filipino man who bought two of them has probably purchased 50 basketball goals in recent years and jokes that maybe he's using them to build an artificial reef. The Philippines does have a professional basketball league, so the demand for goals is said to be high. The Lexington Center spent $14,000 to replace its old buckets. For MSPR Sports, I'm Chuck Meraz.
Some notes from the NBA today. It's been an incredibly busy day for the Houston Rockets. They've made 4 trades so far, most notably for Clippers All-Star point guard Chris Paul. Houston's other moves include acquiring forward Ryan Kelly from the Atlanta Hawks, guard Tim Quarterman from the Portland Trail Blazers, and former Kentucky guard DeAndre Liggins from the Orlando Magic. On top of all of that, ESPN is reporting that the Rockets are now in talks with the Indiana Pacers, trying to trade for All-Star forward Paul George. And the New York Knicks have parted ways with President Phil Jackson after 3 years. It was reported last week that Jackson was trying to trade All-Star big man Kristaps Porzingis for missing a team meeting, and that Jackson fell asleep during a prospect's pre-draft workout. Finally, in sports, new Round County football coach Kelly Ford is preparing for the start of the team's preseason practices in a couple of weeks. Ford remains pleased that the turnout for his team's June conditioning drills was good.
I was really, really pleased of the turnout that we had, our attendance. We averaged between 51 and 60 every day. It's probably one of the first years that I didn't have to run and chase kids down and get them to the weight room. I mean, their kids are excited, and they're wanting to be there.
Ford expects to have 70 to 75 players on the roster this fall. After the KHSAA's dead period ends, the Vikings will start preseason practices on July the 10th. That's it for sports. For Moorhead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Moorhead State Soccer hosts a high school team camp July 10th through the 13th and an elite college ID camp on Sunday, July 16th. The camps are designed to help develop soccer players in all aspects of the game. There's more information at 783-2589 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed sharply higher as bank stocks led the charge, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 143.95 at 21,454.61. The S&P 500 was up 21.31, finishing at 2440.69, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 87.79 to finish at 6234.41. New York Stock Exchange breadth was a very strong 3-1 in favor of winning stocks over losers. Your big gainers, as mentioned, were the bank stocks. The Spider S&P Bank Exchange Traded ETF, which does track the large banks, was up 1.4% as investors brace for the release of the Federal Reserve's stress test results. And analysts expect several big banks to come out of the test with substantial increases in return to shareholders, whether it be dividends or stock buybacks, as many investors feel like regulators will start to ease up the capital requirements of the big banks. Most of tech rebounded today, with Facebook, Apple, Amazon, and Netflix all rising. Shares of Amazon briefly dipped lower after President Trump took a swipe at CEO Jeff Bezos on Twitter. The benchmark 10-year Treasury security rose, or I should say the yield on the benchmark 10-year Treasury rose to 2.22% as bond prices dropped. And in economic news, mortgage applications fell 6% last week, while pending home sales fell for the third straight month in May. In the commodities markets, oil was up 1.29%, finishing at $44.81 a barrel. Gold was up 0.25%, finishing at $1,250 an ounce. European markets fell as the Financial Times index was down about 0.625%, and Germany's DAX index was down 0.2%. Asian markets also fell, with the Nikkei down 0.5%, and the Shanghai was also down about 0.5%. Among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were J.P. Morgan and Walmart. The worst performers were Verizon and Microsoft. In the S&P 500, your best performers were Staples and Arconic, and the worst performers were Advance Auto Parts and Legg Mason. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 26 cents at 66.48, CSX up $1.26 at 54.58, AEP down 58 cents at 70.14, AK Steel up 28 cents at 6.78, Marathon Petroleum up 76 cents at 52.61, and Kroger was up 57 cents to finish at 23.34. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
And here is a recap of the weather forecast for the MSPR listing area, including the counties of Greenup, Lawrence, and Morgan. Tonight, mostly clear, low around 61. Thursday, mostly sunny, high of 86. Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low of 65. Friday, a chance of showers, then a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 11 a.m., it'll be partly sunny with a high of 84. The chance of precipitation is 30%. On Friday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, with a low around 68. The chance of precipitation is 30%. On Saturday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, and then showers likely, and possibly a thunderstorm after 2 p.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 82 degrees. And the chance of precipitation on Saturday is 60%. Let's check some temperatures around the region now. It's 80 degrees in Ashland and Flemingsburg, 81 in Inez and Winchester, 82 in Lexington, and on the campus of Morehead State University, it is sunshine and 80 degrees. And that's it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Moraz, Braxton Howard, Sean Delaney, Ashley Davidson, and Kyle Blankenbuehler. Our feature this afternoon came from Adrian Swain. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Coffey, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.